Coming up on Harvard Chan This Week in Health, a major change in breast cancer screening guidelines for women, the new recommendations from the American Cancer Society, plus how outdated advice is still affecting our diets, and more evidence that breakfast really is the most important meal of the day. Hello and welcome to the first episode of Harvard Chan This Week in Health. I'm Noah Levitt.
And I'm Amy Montemiro. Each week we'll bring you top health headlines from wellness tips to important global health trends.
We'll also share insights from our own Harvard Chan experts. Later in today's episode, Eric Grimm breaks down the importance of breakfast for us and offers up some healthy meal ideas.
Topping our health headlines this week, a major change in breast cancer screening advice for women. The American Cancer Society is now recommending that women with an average risk of breast cancer start having mammograms at age 45 and continue yearly until they're 54. After age 55, mammograms can be scheduled every other year. For those at high risk due to family history or other reasons, more frequent exams or starting mammograms at an earlier age may be advised.
And that's a reversal from previous recommendations that advised women at an average risk to begin mammograms and clinical breast exams starting at age 40. Under the new guidelines, breast exams, either from a medical provider or self-exams, are no longer recommended. However, women are urged to contact their doctor if they notice any changes. The American Cancer Society says the new recommendations reflect new research highlighting both the benefits and drawbacks of mammograms. Be sure to talk with your doctor or healthcare provider to determine what is best for you.
Also in the news this week, the world must do more to protect the health of mothers and newborns. That was the call to action from philanthropist Melinda Gates at the first global maternal and newborn health conference in Mexico City. The Associated Press reports that during the conference's opening ceremony on Monday, Gates told the crowd that 800 women and more than 7,400 newborns around the world die every day from preventable causes related to pregnancy and childbirth. Public health experts, including several from the Harvard Chan School, are discussing policy solutions to drive down those numbers. Underscoring the importance of that mission, Anna Langer, director of the Women in Health Initiative at the Harvard Chan School, said that in order for newborns to be healthy, their mothers must be healthy, valued, and enabled. A new United Nations target aims to cut the maternal mortality rate to fewer than 70 deaths per 100,000 live births by 2030. In 2013, there were 210 maternal deaths per 100,000 births.
The average gun-owning household in the United States now has 8 guns, twice as many guns as those households had nearly 20 years ago. That's according to a new Washington Post analysis of data from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Even as gun owners buy more firearms, the actual gun ownership rate in the U.S. has been falling over the past several decades, from more than 50% of households owning guns in the 1970s to 32% today. The Post says that indicates increasing gun purchases are being driven by existing owners who may be stocking up, as opposed to first-time buyers. David Hemenway, the director of the Harvard Injury Control Research Center, has researched the dangers associated with gun ownership, such as an increase of suicide. And in a recent interview with NPR, Hemenway noted that the average American is 10 times more likely to be killed with a gun than in other developed countries such as France, Australia, or Canada. In a separate interview with radio station KCRW, Hemenway urged gun manufacturers to help prevent accidental deaths by installing common sense safety mechanisms on guns, such as devices to ensure that guns will not go off if they are dropped. Amy, how can you get a country of 300 million smokers to give up their cigarettes? That's the question China and public health officials are now grappling with.
Well, Noah, according to the Wall Street Journal, the World Health Organization is now urging China to implement a nationwide ban on indoor smoking. Tobacco-related diseases kill 1 million people each year in China, and public health officials say the country's existing laws aren't doing enough to reverse that trend. On June 1st, Beijing rolled out a new indoor smoking ban, but other cities have been slow to follow suit. Experts estimate that smoking occurs in 70% of Chinese workplaces and in more than 80% of the country's restaurants. While health experts support the idea of a nationwide smoking ban, they warn that it is not currently a priority for policymakers.
A A new study from Harvard Medical School finds that outpatient care may cost more when hospitals own the medical practices or employ the physicians. According to Reuters, the study examined how the rise of tighter financial ties between doctors and hospitals influenced costs for people enrolled in private health insurance plans from 2008 to 2012. Researchers found that in communities with the sharpest increases in doctor-hospital integration, the average annual patient costs increased by $75 per person. The amount of outpatient services used during this period was little changed. One caveat from the researchers: their study did not assess quality of care, and they say that better quality of care may justify higher prices. Overall, the proportion of doctors with close financial ties to hospitals rose from 18% in 2008 to just over 21% in 2012. There's no reason to fear healthy fats in your diet, such as olive and other vegetable oils, but you should be cautious about simple carbs, foods like white bread or white rice. That's the advice being given from Harvard Chan professor Frank Hu.
Speaking to the New York Times, Hu said that the United States is still grappling with a fat phobia tied to oversimplified dietary advice that began in the 1970s. That advice, that people should steer clear of all dietary fats to avoid heart disease and stroke, led many Americans to eat more reduced fat and fat-free foods that were high in sugar and simple carbohydrates. This helped contribute to a steep rise in obesity and type 2 diabetes.
And Hu says the nutrition advice is more nuanced. People must distinguish between healthy fats and bad fats and healthy carbs and bad carbs. For example, healthy fats such as olive oil don't raise cholesterol or lead to blocked arteries the way saturated fats found in meat do. And when choosing carbs, focus on whole grains over refined. That means choosing quinoa over white rice or whole wheat bread instead of white bread.
And now I have to ask you, Noah, did you have breakfast this morning?
I did. I have breakfast this morning. I have breakfast every morning. And that's a very good thing because Eric Grimm, a professor in the Department of Epidemiology and Nutrition, says the conventional wisdom that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, that is 100% accurate.
Yeah, what we found is that people who skip breakfast were more likely to be the big weight gainers over time. If you have three meals a day, you probably have fewer calories spread out during the day, where if you skip breakfast, then you have all of your calories during just two meals, you get much bigger spikes in glucose and much bigger spikes in insulin. Your glucose spikes because of what you're eating your meal, and your pancreas makes insulin to absorb the glucose. But insulin is also a hunger hormone, and it also ultimately tells your body to store fat. So if you have huge ups and downs in your insulin, your body's more likely to store more energy as fat and also to feel hungrier 3 or 4 hours later.
So Eric, that's why breakfast is important. But what do you eat for breakfast every morning?
I like low-fat or non-fat yogurt with blueberries on top, and sometimes I actually put some bran on top of that. I do like whole grain cereals, and for that, again, I use those that have little or no sugar added to them. And finally, in the winter when it gets a little cold, we make up a batch of steel-cut oatmeal, sometimes a little honey or sometimes some berries on top of that too.
Okay, so what food should we maybe consider avoiding for breakfast?
Probably a lot of processed meats are not so good. That would be the bacon and the sausage and the ham. There's a lot of sodium in that, and they are not great because they're pretty high in saturated fat. Probably the highly refined cereals. There's a lot of cold cereals out there that only have 0 or 1 gram of fiber that really are a lot of added sugar, and those are really tough on your system. And of course, America loves donuts. A lot of donuts is not good. They're going to be high in refined grains, which again is going to be problematic for your blood sugar. Now, what about eggs? Eggs seem to be in the news a lot. What we find if you follow tens of thousands of people is that an egg a day actually is not that bad. It's a good source of protein. And we find that people don't have higher rates of heart disease or diabetes with an egg a day. If you have 2 or 3 eggs every day, then the cholesterol in the egg can start to add up and have an impact. But 1 egg a day really is not so bad because for the most part, the cholesterol in the egg does not turn into cholesterol in your body.
Nutrition expert Eric Grimm on the importance of eating breakfast every day. That's all for this episode of Harvard Chan This Week in Health.
Thank you for listening. And remember, you can check out this podcast at any time and stay up to date on the latest health news by visiting our website, hsph.harvard.edu.